This morning, as we continue on in Lent, we come to that theme of servanthood depicted in the Dixons reminded us of this morning as they told the story of Jesus washing his disciples' feet. I'd like you to turn with me to the passage in John chapter 13, that tells us that story in its entirety, and we're going to look at that together this morning. John chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. Follow along as I read verses 3 through 5, or pardon me, 1 through 5, and then 12 through 17. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. And so he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Down to verse 12. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Lord, we ask that as we look into your word again this morning, that you would make this truth live to us, and that we would not just store it away as one more piece of religious information, but that this message from your word would be so enlivened by your spirit that it would make very significant changes in each of our lives. Do this for the sake of Christ, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. In Canada, I had a work associate who was absolutely loaded with brains and abilities. I mean, this guy had more than I'd have in probably three lifetimes, more to offer. Except when it came to relationships, he was an accident looking for a place to happen. He just could not get along with people. As a matter of fact, he destroyed people. As a matter of fact, he almost destroyed me. And as I tried over the years to discover what made this guy tick and what made him ticked, I discovered that inside his manly body was a little boy. As a matter of fact, a very insecure little boy. And this was the motivating factor for how he treated people. Although he tried on the outside to appear secure, together, and the most with it person on the face of the earth, he in reality was a very deeply wounded, hurting, and insecure person. And that reality in the interior of his person sabotaged his ability to love and serve other people. I believe that God wants all of us as his children to be secure. To be secure enough to serve. And yet I believe, it's my personal opinion, that insecurity lies at the root of our inability to serve and love. Insecurity is the key reason why Christians do not practice servanthood as Jesus modeled it. Now every one of us have felt the pain of insecurity. Some of us live there all the time. Others visit the place occasionally. But most of us have felt insecure at one point or another. I have. And you have too. We've been personally damaged by it. And as a result, we've often hurt other people. But you know what? The most horrible thing about insecurity is not that it makes the victim feel awful, but that it destroys our ability to minister to other people. Let me give you an illustration. Two people fall out of a boat into the dark, cold waters of some bay. The boat keeps going, not knowing they've fallen overboard. One has a life jacket, the other doesn't. Which one do you think is going to offer to help the other person? The one who feels secure. The one who, because of his life jacket, is in a position of security will have the wherewithal to reach out and serve the other person, not the reverse. It's security that allows us to reach out and touch the life of other people. In the financial arena, when you see a financial need, what stops us from giving to the financial need? It almost always is the issue of security. I won't give because that's going to limit my resources, and how will I survive if I give? It's the whole issue of security. You see, Jesus tells us to give our lives away, but we work hard to keep them. Jesus tells us to release others and forgive them, forgive the people who have hurt us, and we work overtime to make sure they get their due. Jesus tells us to seek the lowest place, and we clamor for the top. Jesus tells us to seek his kingdom first, but we don't have time after seeking ours. The scriptures tell us to give and to tithe, to indeed give hilariously, but we just couldn't afford that. That's kind of fanatical. Why is it so hard to follow Jesus' directives? Why is it so hard to put these things into place? Why is it so hard to implement his example? The answer is very, very simple. We're downright insecure. Insecurity is that potent acid which eats away at the soul. It tears apart our confidence and it immobilizes our courage. It deadens our zeal and it turns our attention to self-preservation. That's what insecurity does. Now, there's many ways that insecurity is developed inside of us, and I don't have time this morning to explore all that, but what I do want to show you this morning from the scriptures is how that insecurity can be dispelled. Are you interested? Because we all wrestle with it. Wouldn't it be wonderful if there was a way to have those insecurities which rob us of life and destroy our ministry potential, if there's a way of dealing with that, it'd sure be nice, wouldn't it? Well, I believe that this is found in this passage. At the Last Supper, Jesus had had with his disciples before his crucifixion, the scripture says he humbled himself and served them in a way that shocked them. He washed their feet. Now you know, I'm sure, you've heard it many times, this was a servant's job. It was not the job of the master. This was a nickel and dime task. It wasn't a big bucks account. Yet Jesus, their boss, took off his outer clothing, wrapped himself in a towel, and washed and dried their feet. Why? For the same reason that the guy with the life jacket reaches out to the person who doesn't. Jesus was the secure one, so Jesus was the one who served. What made him so secure? Jesus knew three things. He knew three things that made him secure. And I want you to look at those this morning. They're found in verses 3 through 5. He knew where he came from, he knew where he was going, and he knew why he was here. Look at verse 3. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin, began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. It tells you right there why he did it. He knew the Lord had put all things under his control. He knew he had come from God and was going to God. So this is what he did. Clear. I suggest to you this morning that if we can learn those same three principles, those same three truths about our lives, we also will be freed up to be absolutely secure, secure enough to serve. The first thing we need to see is where we've come from. Jesus knew that he had come from God, so he served. You may say, well, of course, that's great for Jesus, but that's not where I've come from. If you just knew my past, if you knew the pain that I've been through, if you knew the hell where I've come from in my life, you'd understand why I can't serve. You'd understand why I'm all wrapped up in myself. You understand why I cower in the corner and can't think of others. You'd understand. Let's face it, some of us were illegitimate. Some of us were unwanted. Some of us were adopted or foster children. And although we tried long and hard to forget that, it has a way of tying us down to the ground. Some of us were rejected more than we were accepted, and that open wound still bleeds if you take off the covering. Some of us still spend our lives longing for our parents' approval. Some of us have failed one too many times in the past, enough to make us feel way deep down inside like we're destined to be losers. Some of us have been abused, misused, or simply unnoticed. And we've kind of gotten to the place where we've accepted that fact, where we'll always feel less than average. Some of us have been hurt by someone else so badly, and now we just simply can't trust anybody anymore. You suspect everybody's motives and we hold people at a distance. Some of us still buy into the lie of evolution and we wonder why we can't move beyond our animalistic instinct of self-preservation and gratification. Well, friends, if that's where you've come from, and that's where you pitch your tent, and that's where you stay living, then you probably will never be secure enough to serve. But, when you recognize that God was the one who oversaw your conception, you realize that God was the one who ordained your physical life, regardless of the human circumstances, that God was the one who grieves over the damage done to you by sin, that God loves and cherishes you more than you will ever comprehend, that God sent His only Son Jesus to pay for your sin so He could adopt you into His family, that God provides all the riches of His storehouse to you as His child, that God will bring healing to your soul, to your emotions, to your past, to your life, that God will supply everything you need for life and godliness, that God is really where you and I have come from. When that truth grips your heart and your soul, then you will have a foundation for your life that will be as solid as the rock of Gibraltar. And only then will you begin to be free to be all that God has made you to be. You've got to know where you came from. And God has said, you've come from me. You're my creation. I have ordained your life. All the days of my life were written in your book before one of them came to be, said King David. You've got to know where you came from. Anyone who knows God as their Father through faith in Jesus Christ will have a security that cannot be shaken. And if you're a child of God this morning, I say, brothers and sisters, that's where we've come from. That's our origin. The second thing Jesus knew that we need to know is where we are going. It says Jesus knew that He had come from God and was returning to God, so He served. Where are you going in life? Have you ever stopped to think about it? Where's your life headed? Where are you going? Those of you still in school, you're saying, oh, I can hardly wait to get this semester over and then I'll be living. Well, then what? Well, then I'll come back and finish school. Okay, you get to graduation. Then what? Well, hopefully I'll be able to land a good paying job, if they're available. Then what? Well, hopefully my company will have some international connections and they'll send me back overseas, maybe even to Mahdi. And then what? Well, those of us who work here in Mahdi, we realize we'll be here for a little while, some more than others, and then we'll probably be sent back to our home countries for another job or sent somewhere else. And then what? Well, then we'll spend our lives socking money away so we can prepare for retirement. And then what? Well, then we'll enjoy retirement and we'll spend all that money that we should have given to our kids in their inheritance. And then what? Well, then I understand there's some really good nursing homes that'll care for me in my old age. And then what? And then what? And then what? See, anyone who has plans only till the grave is a fool, and an insecure fool at that. Anyone who does not have their heart, in their heart, the absolute assurance of what lies beyond the grave, anyone who does not have that absolute assurance of eternal life will never have security in this life, regardless of how much money, fame, or power they have. We've got to know where we're going. And security does not come until that is also in place. See, anyone who has trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, the Bible says, has eternal life. And that security, that's a security that nothing, absolutely nothing, can ever shake or destroy. How is it that Jesus could be so selfless, so sacrificial, so other-centered in His life? How could He willingly give up all the niceties of life in order to care for the needy? How could He let men's lies about Him stand as truth without ever defending them or contradicting them? How could he allow wicked men to torture and murder him, returning only the blessing of forgiveness? How could he willingly die with the world's sin on his back, knowing he was going to a torturous hell in our place? How could he do it? You know how? Hebrews 12:2 gives us the answer. It tells us that Jesus endured the cross and scorned its shame because of the joy that was set before him. He knew where he was going. He knew what was coming. And so he was able to endure all that was before him. He knew he was returning to God. He knew that he would sit down at the right hand of the Father. He knew that he would enjoy the fruit of his labor. He knew that he would once again enjoy the praise of all creation. He knew where he was going. And so he was free and secure to serve. Friends, serving always involves some pain and sacrifice. It always does. You can't serve somebody without giving something of yourself. It means giving ourselves, giving our time, giving our talents, giving our resources, giving our treasures. And let's face it, nobody in their right mind is going to give their lives away serving other people if there's no benefit. You may be much more spiritual than I and say, well, I can do that. Well, I can't. I'm not about to pour my life into the sand with nothing coming back. The question is, what is coming back and when is it coming back? Let me give you an illustration. If I could guarantee that in a month from now I would hand you a check for $1 million. Guaranteed. No strings attached except one. The only thing to qualify for that $1 million check would be that you would have to, this afternoon, go and give absolutely everything you own away, including your wardrobe, including all the food in your house, except the clothes that you wear, so that you would have absolutely not one penny to your name, and that you would go and live on the street with the poorest of the poor for 1 month. If you did that for an entire month, and at the end of the month you'd come to me, and if you did it, I'd hand you the check for $1 million. How many do you think you could manage? How many would like to try it? We've got one honest person over there. Yeah. I think I could handle a month. Couldn't you? Oh, I'd rather stay where I'm at. Christians who seriously take God's of eternal life and his rewards for service, if we take that seriously, then we will be secure enough in this world to pay whatever price it costs us in order to pour our lives out for others, because of what's coming, because of where we're going, because of what God has promised. We may not see it in this life, but it's that temporary giving, that temporary loss, that temporary abandonment because of what God has ordained us in the future. When we know where we've come from and we know where we are going, friends, that spells security. There's one other thing that made Jesus secure and will make us secure, and that's knowing why we are here. Scripture says Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, that he had come from God and was going to God, and so he served. This is very, very important. Jesus never served because he was weak. He served because he was strong. God had put how much power under his authority? All power. Can you fathom that? All power in the universe is his, and what does he do? He gets down on his hands and knees and washes the dirt from between the toes of simple men. It's because he was strong that he was able to serve. See, we've got it all twisted around. Our cultures have made us think exactly backwards. Throughout history, we think that power and position are for the strong and the smart, and servanthood, that's for the wimps. That's for the people who can't make it in life. Those are the servants. If you look closely, you'll notice that the quest for power is almost always in the hands of the insecure. And some of the things I'm going to say now may jolt you, but examine them, I dare you. Power, the quest for power, is almost always in the hands of the insecure. This is not to imply that all people in positions of power are power mongers. Many are there because of giftedness, skill, or hard work, and a sincere desire to use their abilities and skills to benefit others. However, often power is the cherished treasure of those who are confused about where they've come from, about where they're going, and about why they're here. It's like a narcotic taken to diminish the pain of an empty life. Power tripping is one of the key ways that weak people cover up their insecurities. We fight and we clamor, we put down and intimidate, we boast and we brag, we manipulate and instigate, all to get positions and possessions and power. And why do we do this? Because we don't know why we're here. The one to whom all power in heaven and on the earth and under the earth had been given, this one said of himself, "I didn't come to be served. I came to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many." And that's exactly what he did. He poured out his life for other people. This morning we remember Jesus, the one who in full knowledge of his pending death told us that he was doing it for us. The one who said that his body was being broken so that we could be whole. The one who told us that his blood was being shed so that our sins could be paid for. The one through whose death we would obtain everlasting life. There's many miracles in the scripture, but the one that captivates me most is the fact that the Almighty Sovereign of all came to be the servant of all. That boggles my mind. But he was able to do it because he was absolutely secure. And you know what's interesting? He invites you and me to join the ranks. Throughout history, men and women and young people who have found their security in Jesus Christ have been able to pour out their lives for other people. I could go on and on and give you all kinds of illustrations this morning. Those kind of people have washed the dirty. They have loved the unlovely. They have picked up the fallen. They have forgiven their abusers and accusers. They have given to the needy. They have fed the hungry. They have given to the helpless, given hope to the hopeless. They've given joy to the sorrowful and life to the dying. Those people have literally poured out their lives for other people. Why? Because they found a security in Christ that was unshakable. And today, Jesus beckons you and me to come and enjoy that kind of security. A security in Him, so that you also can join the fearless army of the Savior's servants. May God enable each of us to so be. Please join me in prayer. Father, this morning, I confess to you my insecurity. I confess to you, Lord, that when I look at my circumstances, the issues in my life, the events, the people, the things that form my circumstance, I realize, Lord, that often I feel like a wave on the ocean, a little tossed, a little insecure. But Lord, I also know that when I look to where I've come from in you, to where I'm going to in you, and to all the wonderful resources I have in you while I'm here, I confess, Lord, that that insecurity fades into nothingness. And Lord, I pray for myself this morning and for my brothers and sisters here that each of us would be growing more and more and more to know you in such a way that our lives would be bedrock security in you. Not just so that we can be all secure and happy, but Lord, so that from that platform, we would be able to carry on what you told us to do in this passage, that we also would be able to go and do for others what you have done for us. Make us your servants for Jesus' sake.
Amen.